Today's daf is daf Samachay, and we're up to the Halakha Mishnah. Omer li isha kidashtich, v'hi omeret lo kidashtani. Guy goes over to a woman and he says, well, it's great, you know, us being married. He says, what are you talking about? You never were mekadesh me. So hu asur bekrovoteha, but he muteret bekrovav. I mean, since he now is acknowledging that she is his wife, so that means he made what we call chaticha d'isura. Shav ya'anav shechaticha d'isura. He creates, many learn that this is a type of neder. By your accepting this situation, you can create that reality lahalacha vis-a-vis yourself. Certainly not for anybody else. So therefore, he cannot marry anyone that would be also for him to marry if she were his wife. So he can't marry her sister, her mother, and so on and so forth. She, on the other hand, who denies the whole thing, she is muteret bikrovav, because he has no ability as a single individual to aser her on anybody. He omeret kidashtani, on the other hand, when she says, boy, that was great, I love being married to you. Wow, look at that shtich, what are you talking about? Hu mutar bekrovoteha, the opposite is true. So then he, no dinim have changed for him. Vehi, because she was shaviyah nafshach hatichada yisurah, is asur bekrovav. Now obviously it's not just that she's asur bekrovav, she's asur in the whole world. But when it says asur bekrovav, under any circumstances, even if he would give her a get to release her from her self-imposed prison, but that would never change. She would always be asur on his krovin. Now how about if a guy says, kidashtich, v'yomeret lo kidashte elabiti, please, let's keep things straight over here. I mean, it was nice of you to be makadesh, but it was my daughter, not me. So who asur bekrovot gidola? So he claims that he's married to her, so of course he can't marry any of her krovim. The woman herself, who denies that there was ever any kedushin, gedola muteret bikrovav. Now all of this is just really a review of what we said before, and everyone's going to ask, so what do we need this for? What's the chiddush here? Hu mutar bikrovot ktana. He who never claimed that he was married to the daughter is not usher on the daughter. And not only that, the mother is not believed to ask of the daughter either, because she is just a single person. And how can she define? She wasn't given the rights to be Makadosh, her daughter, the way a man was. And therefore, the Ketanah is Muteret Bikrovav. Kidashti et bitech. The Yomeret, hey, wait a minute. Lo kidash el oti. So here, he claims, that's a beautiful daughter you have. She says, what do you mean daughter? There's nothing to do with daughter. That was me. Says, what are you talking about? Your grandmother, baby. I want the girl. So who asur bekrovot ktana? He who claims to be married to the daughter is indeed asur on all the krovot of the daughter because of shavi nafshach hatichad isura. The ktana, of course, is mutar bekrovav, because nobody is saying except him that she was married. Hu mutar bekrovot gedola, hu gedola asura bekrovav. Again, entirely redundant. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to go through the four cases that we have in the Mishnah to see what exactly the chiddush is over here. What do we need all of these cases for? The principle was clear. The principle was you could be shavi and nafshach hatichad isura, but that has no impact whatsoever on the person that you're speaking about. It only has impact on you. That's the principle. What do we need for restatements of the same principle? Because yashmina gabi didei. Let us say that he now says, I was mekadesh you. Okay, you know why we say that it has no impact on her? Because when he says that, he doesn't pay attention. He doesn't care if it's true or not. What does he care? He can always take another one, you know. So fine, what's he losing out on? A couple of old women, her mother, sister. I mean, he doesn't care. So Mamela, okay. So therefore, Umikri Omar, you know, he can come along and say anything stupid. I mean, you know, who knows what the context was. But for a woman to say that, I mean, that's a disaster. A woman says that, she becomes a asur lekulei alma. So how could she possibly say that unless she's absolutely clear and there's a chazak over here, she's telling the truth? So ilav v'kimla b'dibura lo havei amra. And therefore, in that case, we should say that indeed, if she's claiming that to be the case, so then we should at least asur him on her krovim, because we have strong psychological reason to believe her. And he, I would have thought, litzar iu bikrovoteha, kamash balanda, that is still not edut, and there's no way that we would be makabo, a status of him that's going to be established by her. Okay, now how about the next case? Kidashtich, where she says, no, it wasn't me, it was my daughter. Nah, come on, what is this adding? Atulamali, now, what are you going to say now? Ah, I'll tell you something very intelligent. Because what would be if she were the father? Right? Then the father would be believed. Because of it, bitinatati li shaser, as we said yesterday. So the Torah was ma'amin to the divrei ha'av. Where there is no father, the Rabbanan gave her the right to be Mekabel Kedushin. Therefore, you might think that giving her the right to be Mekabel Kedushin places her in the same position that it does, the Torah does, to the father. And so that the Rabbanan basically put her in that position. So Sal Kadai the Chanina, I would have thought. Now, since Midiraita Ibn Rahman al-A'ab, Min Rabbanan Hem Lelidida, maybe the Rabbanan created, a new sense of Ne'amanut over here, and therefore she should be able to answer her daughter with her own talk. Ditzar Bar Tapa Dibura. Kamash Malan, no such thing. All right, I dare you to find some meaning in the fourth case. I mean, now we know everything. So Kidashti et Bitcha, Patul Amali. I mean, says Gemara, well, we don't really, you know. But what were we going to do? You know, have an odd Mishnah? You know, first talk about him, then talk about her, then talk about him, and then not talk about her. So, you know, maybe we'd have the women up in arms. So, Mimela, we'd say it in both directions in both cases. Says Gemara, that it's just a question of keeping it parallel, so it should be an elegant Mishnah. That's all. I did a ton. Aha, tana namiha. Itma. Now, we have a machloket, and it is not clear to us what this machloket is about. We know that Rav said kofin, we will force the husband to give her a get. Whereas Shmuel says mevakshim, we will nicely ask the husband to give her a get. Now, I don't know what case in the Mishnah that's talking about. I mean, what are we going on? This doesn't really seem to make any sense about any case in the Mishnah. Let's say we're talking about the Reisha. So the Reisha is, he says to the woman, kidashtir. She says, it never happened. What's her status? She can marry whoever she wants, right? So what in the world does she need a get for? She doesn't need a get. So what do you mean? If she doesn't need a get, why the heck should we ask him to give her a get? It's irrelevant. Ella, and it's not going to change anything vis-a-vis him, right? I mean, he's anyway Asubik Ravotea, because he's claiming that he's married. So even if he's no longer married, he's still Asubik Ravotea. That doesn't change after divorce. So how could that can't be the case. Okay, so let's move on down the Mishnah. Okay. Talking about the next case, right? Ella Asefa. The Seifa is, she went ahead and claimed that she is married to him. And he says, I don't know who you are, I never saw you before in my life, I don't know what you're talking about. So, okay, I mean, if you want to tell me this poor woman has locked herself into a disastrous situation in which she has told us that she's married to this guy, the guy denies it, and therefore she can have absolutely no type of legal claim against him. All that she managed to do was to create an issue on herself to ever get married. So, gee whiz, let's try to help this woman out. Okay, try to help the woman out. You call up the guy that she claims she's married to, and you say, look, I know she's a nut and everything else, but you know what? I mean, try to help her out. The poor girl's in a tough spot. Give her a get. Okay, that I understand. So you could say, if Shmuel wants to say about that case, that mevakshim, so bishleim mevakshim, l'chayai, very nice. You want to be nice to her? I mean, nobody will object to asking nicely. But kofim, I mean, that's outrageous. Because she has messed up her life and created a situation whereby she is never going to be able to get married. So therefore, Besdin is going to drag this guy in, who is the innocent victim of her machinations over here, which is claiming that he is her husband, and force him to give a get. And by the way, you can't even say, well, what do you care? Well, of course I care. What if one day I want to marry that beautiful sister of hers? Or her mother, or her daughter, whatever. Why do I have to limit my options by giving her a get? Once I give her a get, I mean, I'm all for sure going to be usher, because we never are able to allow someone who gave a get to act as if the get was a joke. So, kofim, how can you say that we could force a guy to do something which is detrimental to him? Am I? Can't he just say, lo nechali ditzar b'kriva? Look, I don't want to give a get. I don't want to be usher to her relatives. Leave me alone. So no matter how you learn this Mishnah, the machlokas in Rav Shmuel makes absolutely no sense. Ela, says the Gemara, you're right. There is obviously no such machloket. We misinterpreted two statements that were complementary into being an argument. Actually, Shemaitata Ahadari Itmar. These were really complementary statements in which Shmuel starts off by saying the obvious, which nobody would have any objections to. If this woman is in a pickle, that doesn't mean we let her stew in her own juices. We'll ask the guy nicely to give her a get. Mevakshim. So mevakshim imenolitain get. To which Rav points out, gentlemen, believe me, we don't need Shmuel to tell us to be nice. That's not the point. What Shmuel is saying is that if you don't get into a position of Mevakshim, and he gives a get on his own, then we have a whole different can of worms. Because if he went and gave a get me at Shmuel without Mevakshim nicely, so then we say, all right, nobody does that. I mean, nobody is that nice. So obviously he's admitting now that she was married to him. So then, kofinotan liten ketuva. In that case, we'll force him to pay up, because we understand that his denial of the marriage was just an attempt to avoid paying up the ketuva. Itmar nami, omr vach barado amarav, or some say it's omr vach barado, omr vhamnuna amarav, he didn't hear it himself, that kofin umevachim. What is that supposed to mean? Tarte, maybe you say two contradictory things. You're kofin umevachim? No, in other words, okikama. Mevachim imena liten get. That, yes. But if we hadn't needed to start with Mevakshim because he went ahead and gave it himself, then you can go directly to the Kofin and forget about the Mevakshim. That's the point. Kofin u'Mevakshim, but not Mevakshim the Kofin. So that's the point I'm making. He acts on his own, very suspicious. And that basically confirms our understanding of these two statements being complementary and not being argumentative. Because Rav himself says both. Omer Rav Yehuda, HaMekadesh Be'ed Echad. Now we get into a fascinating discussion. We have never really discussed the position of the Eidim in the actual halot of the Kiddushin. Now we know that all over there's clearly places where Eidim are only necessary for bringing proof. Certainly if the people involved are ready to admit that the event is true, what do we need Eidim for? On the other hand, there are places, let's say, you have a get. The get is unsigned. And there were no Eidim Mesira. I mean, so you don't have a get. Even if they both agree, no, if it happened and so on. The Vikatavla is Katavla with witnesses. So, I mean, it's a rather confusing spectrum. Where are Eidim there only to let us know about what happened? So sometimes we don't need that. And, I mean, if it's that kind of position, that it only needs to let us know what happened, then maybe a videotape would be the equivalent. And when are Eidim there to actually be part of the transaction? So the difference would be if somebody was Mekadesh without witnesses. Now, it's interesting. Everybody seems to agree, and Rashi's Masbid this later on. If you're Mekadesh a woman without witnesses at all, and both the male and the female agree, yes, we were Mekadesh, we're living happily together as man and wife for the past 30 years, but there were never any witnesses. So then we say there was never any condition. But how about if there's one witness? You say, well, what is one witness? And we learn out the word davar, davar, to kedushin from kimatzaba ervat davar, which means that anything that has to do with human relationships that comes into the parsha of arayot has to be the same davar that was true of yakum davar, which is shnayim or shlosha. So how could we possibly say that it would be a kedushin without witnesses? We wouldn't. The area which remains now a little bit in a penumbra, straight which way it is dafka in this case where there's one witness. Why is that? Because when it comes to one witness, legabi dinei momenut, suppose you would have a witness against someone that he owes you money. Now, it certainly says yakum davar in terms of momen also, right? But over there, we know that the Torah says if there's one witness, he's mechayev you a shvua. Now, what that means is that the presence of a single witness actually creates a chiyuv midoraita, but it's insufficient proof. Now, what that might mean is that if a witness is required as part of the actual event creating the new state, then a single witness provides that. Except that if there are people that are involved claim it never happened, we don't know that it happened because we don't have two witnesses. And therefore, there's no yakum davar. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that yakum davar is to create the status in the first place. And when it comes to anything but momentous, the chiyuv of a shvua, a single witness has no bearing on the situation at all. And therefore, even if everybody agrees that the event took place, it's irrelevant to us. So what's the din? Amar of Yehuda, I'll tell you, a mekadesh be'ed echad, ein choshishin l'kiddushin. There's only one witness to the kiddushin, there's nothing to think about. You don't need any kind of get, there's no chiyuvim, there's no isurim, the whole thing is a joke. Just was a kedushin. It would be like taking something that can't be worth a shavar pruta anywhere. You'd say that would be a kedushin. There's nothing to worry about. Boy, me name Rav Yehuda. Are you saying that even if both agree, or are you saying only if there's an eid echad? Shneiem odim mai. Ah, and there he was confused. Sometimes he said, "Yes, I'm saying it." Well, no, actually, below And Rafi Biyade, it's clear that he was ambivalent about this. Sometimes it would appear to him this way, sometimes that way. And he wasn't ready to give a definitive psak. Itmar Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel Amakadosh Beit Echad Ein Choshen Kedushin Afilu Shneihem Modim. Mashen came Shmuel Nachman and Shmuel were not hesitant, and they said absolutely, even if both are Moda, there's no question. Now here, why is this part of our sugya? For the very simple reason that in an analysis of the case of the Mishnah, we end up apparently having problems with this sugya, because the Mishnah talks about a discussion between a man and woman about whether he gave Kedusha, whether he didn't have Kedusha. Understand, who cares? Were there witnesses or were there no witnesses? I mean, if you're telling me that because she says you were Mekadesh, we therefore Shavyanavshach Hatikha the Yisura, and so on and so forth. Why? There's obviously no witnesses, because, I mean, why don't we just go and ask the witnesses? So why would there be Shavyanavshach Hatikha the Yisura when all she's claiming is that they have never been married? You gave me Kedusha because there was nobody there, but I really appreciate being your wife. So you're not his wife. Don't worry about it. So how do we deal with our Mishnah? So HV Ravel or Nachman, how are you going to explain the Mishnah we just had? Omer li isha kidashtich. V'omer lo kidashtani. So he becomes asura mikrovim. She is muteret mikrovav. I mean, obviously there's no witnesses. I mean, if we had witnesses, there's nothing to discuss. Who cares what they say? So idi ika edim. Why would she be muteret mikrovav? And on the other hand, idaleka edim. I mean, if there's no witnesses at all, then there's nothing to talk about. So then amaya asur mikrovotea. I will tell you, there's only one possible explanation of this Mishnah, right? It's got to be El Olav be'ed echad. So since there's an eid echad, we don't have any basis for believing the eid. But since there's an eid echad, it was sufficient to create the kedusha, as far as she's concerned, because the facts she's defining for herself, true. But the facts are, she's saying there was a single witness there. Then you're saying that you're mekadesh. Obviously, we don't believe you in terms of creating an issue for anybody else. But you're not just talking nonsense, because you're not saying he gave me Kedushin, which is a meaningless statement. You're saying he gave me Kedushin in front of a witness, which is a meaningful statement. And yet you're claiming that giving Kedushin in front of a witness, where we know that that happened, because both are agreeing, as far as the chiyav on both of them would be the same, you're saying it's meaningless, forget about it. So then what are you saying? We need two witnesses. So then ask the witnesses. So I don't understand how you read this Mishnah. Exactly, that's what we'll answer. Answers the Gemara, well, all we could say is that Akhmai Askina. It could be simply talking about a case. Could go into Amalaki Dashtich Miflei Ploni or Ploni. Obviously, whoever's claiming, he's claiming, she's claiming the Kedushin over here, they're claiming a full 100% Kedushin. If that's two witnesses, as I say, it's two witnesses. What's your problem? Your problem is, why don't we ask the witnesses? They're not available. What kind of crazy question is that? So in other words, we can't establish the truth because we don't have the witnesses handy. Okay. Now, the question as to whether she or he is claiming that there was a real Kedushin, yes, because they say there were witnesses there. And we're not interested in establishing the truth. We're interested in establishing a personal truth for the man who's claiming or for the woman who's claiming. Are they claiming a real Kedushin or not? Yes, they're claiming that there were two witnesses. So vis-a-vis themselves, there's a Kedushin. Okay, well, then what about this case? Eitfei. Hamagareshet ishto. There's a sugi that we spoke about before. Someone divorces his wife. And then they make up to meet in the local Howard Johns. Now, what the heck are they tiptoeing down there for? So we know. So Lana Imobapunik. She then goes to a hotel with her. So Beit Shammai says it doesn't matter. They don't need a second divorce, thinking that they've been sleeping together now and that he meant to be Makadashir. No. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, no, she's got to get another divorce now. Now, ask yourselves. I mean, hey, Chidomi, what's the case over there? So a man and woman go into a hotel room. Who cares? I mean, there's no witnesses to anything. What do we care what they did? The point is, we don't have any witnesses to Kedushin, and therefore it's irrelevant to us. So what are we talking about? I mean, either he gave him, do we have witnesses? So, what would Beit Shammai say? They don't need to get a divorce. So my tamay to Beit Shammai. Vidaleka Aiden, if there's no witnesses, so why would Beit Hillel say they need a divorce? I mean, he may well have even said to her, darling, I love you. I'm sorry we ever get divorced. Let us once again reestablish our life as man and wife. He did everything. Who cares? Maybe he even gave her a new diamond ring. Who cares? No witnesses, no condition. So therefore, the only case where this makes sense is that we have an eid echad. Okay. So therefore, the kedushin eid echad is clearly relevant to making the kedushin, but irrelevant to establishing the facts, because we need two witnesses to establish the facts. So Gemara, is that what you really think? Let's think that that's the case for a moment. Read ahead. Ema Seifa. Umodim benit garshamina erisin. Now they're all agreed that if the divorce took place after only erisin, which means that there never was a chuppah, and then a year later they get together in this hotel, she'ein tzricha amena get sheni. There everybody's agreed there's no need for a get. And that's because we think she'ein libo gasba. That's because we have no reason to assume that libo gasba. Now, the way you understood it is that be'ed echa, and the only way that it's mechayev is, I guess they're agreed, right? So if they're agreed, so what's the difference? Whether it was an erisim and an assuming? No, it's not that they agreed. You're jumping into that from the previous case. What happened over here is like this. We have two Edim. What's there to discuss? We have two Edim that watch them go into a room alone together. That's all that we have, is Edut for Yichud. And as far as what happened in that room, nobody knows. So we have Eda Yichud. We do not have Eda Bia. So Beit Shammai says, okay, so who cares? So what do we see? We see the two people are alone in a room. What's that going to do? Lo amrinan hein edei yichud, hein edei biyah. We're not going to say that just because the fact is that they had once been man and wife, therefore, by definition, he took her in there to sleep with her and to be makadosh. We don't say that. By the way, the Rishonim point out that that doesn't mean that Beit Shammai would disagree with the idea of yichud, which we do. In other words, say we have Aiden that stand outside of the door after establishing that these people are alone, which we say that's sufficient indication that they slept together, right? So the point there is that Beit Shammai is also modern, that the context, of course, establishes. I mean, if the guy just sat on a floor, hey, look at Eshetli, but Abadzu, and then takes her into a room. I mean, come on. There, of course, the context has been established as we don't need to see every last detail. We just need to assume that you've been sleeping together. There, of course, hey, but just because two people are in a hotel after a divorce doesn't mean that there's an indication that they're getting remarried. So there we don't say that. However, both are, Beit Hillel Savri, whereas Beit Hillel agrees that no, we do under these circumstances, having been married, and therefore to them, it's the most natural thing in the world to be together sexually. It's not like he's never met this woman before. So therefore, we do say, but I agree, if they never slept together before. So in other words, the divorce happened before the chuppah. So you're giving kedushin. So now it was erisin. There, even I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say, I mean, modim vadim et gashem and erisin. There we don't say, he's not comfortable taking her to bed. Why would I think that just because they're alone, that therefore necessarily they've been sleeping together? Omer of Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta mishpei de Rav. Also, I'm a kaddish be'ed echad in choshi l'kedushav. I can quote you Rav as well, not only Shmuel that we had before with Reb Nachman, but Rav over here with Reb Yitzchak bar Shmuel, that I'm a kaddish be'ed echad, nothing. In choshi l'kedushin afilu shnehem odim. And Rabba Bar Avuna put it a different way. Rabba Bar Avuna said, "I'm a kaddish be'ed echad." The great court, the Beit Din Rabba, said, "Ein choshin l'kedushav." Look, who's the Beit Din Rabba? Man Beit Din Rabba. He meant Rav, but what he's trying to say is it's absolutely authoritative. Let's get into this issue. Or some had it that Rav himself had used that language, and Rabba Bar Avuna was quoting Rav. That Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, Rav, "I'm a kaddish be'ed echad." Beit Din Rabba Amri Ein Choshin L'Kedushav. Now, obviously, if Rav is referring to the Beit Din HaGadol, he couldn't be referring to himself. So, my Beit Din Rabba, according to this version, obviously was a reference to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Right? And there, indeed, you can call him Beit Din Rabba, because there you had a true Beit Din that all of Yisrael were in the Kabbal, and therefore you had the Psak that was Nogea, everyone. Mosi Revach Tovoi Bar Ami. So Rav Achavoy Bahami has a question from the following case. This is a hilarious case. Absolutely hilarious. Okay, we've got two men and a woman and a suitcase. They get off of a sailboat, having arrived from far away in a place, a mythical place where people walk upside down, called Osu, something like that. And here they arrive, and everybody has a different story. You see, what happens is, Shnayim Shabomim, the other hand, Vishamayim, and a suitcase, Vechavila Imayim. Okay. So man number one says, gentlemen, meet my wife and my loyal servant and take my suitcase. The other one says, what are you, crazy? Meet my wife and my servant. Says the woman, boys, let's stop it. Meet my two servants. Beautiful case.
She's not.
It's two servants. So, Chavila Shali, it's my suitcase. So what do you do in that case? Well, she's going to need to get two divorces, which sounds like, for some reason, just the fact that they claimed that she was married, it's going to be mechayev her a divorce. That's weird. That's against our Mishnah. And she collects her ketuvah from the suitcase. Now, let's try to figure out. So let's try to figure out what is this all about? I mean, echidam. I mean, idit le'sa'adi lahai. If each of the men have witnesses, you're claiming you need witnesses, or else it's irrelevant. So each of the men have two witnesses. I mean, they're certainly agreed that she's not the owner of these two men, so we've got witnesses that are saying they're certainly not a rabboni. So how can she turn around to say, Mimotzi amra elu shnei abadai v'chavila shali? So it's gotta be that the case is that they only had an eid echad. And nonetheless, we're claiming that she needs a divorce from both of them. Oh, come off it. What a ridiculous approach. Vitizbra, let's say that. The case is there's an eid echad. So what would you be saying? That since in aggregate we have two witnesses that are claiming that she's... Please! Eid echad b'hakchasha, mimehemad. An eid echad that has found something where another eid says the exact opposite of him doesn't exist halakhically. Forget about it. Throw them both out. In which case it cannot possibly be that she needs a get because we're putting two people together who are saying opposite things. So what do you think the pshat is? Obviously that. This is not the pshat. L'mishrei le'ami, missing the whole point of the story. There was never any question that she is not married. As far as getting married to anybody else, she wants to marry somebody, let her go right ahead and marry. L'mishrei le'ami dekulayim alo pligi deshari. Without witnesses, this is simply the case in our Mishnah. I don't care how many guys are claiming that they were Makadashar. Bottom line is, they can't have any impact on her. The only case is, and this is the Chiddush, the beautiful Chiddush, what it's saying is, if she wants to get the suitcase, then she needs two gittin. And if she got the two gittin from the two guys, then she gets to keep the suitcase. That's the point. The Chiddush being that, really, it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, who holds you can collect your ketuvah from a suitcase. Because until we had the Takanat HaGeonim, the ketuvah was collectible only from real estate. But Rabbi Meir held that there's a lien against all property, including even the Taltali. And that's the case over here. There could be a case where she could actually walk off with the suitcase, despite the fact that these two guys are all claiming, how could she walk off with the suitcase? No, because we're going to leave it to be mayor. So therefore, the kule amalo pligi deshari, obviously to be mater, we don't need these men. But what the story is telling us is that tzrichash nei gitim kidei ligvot ketuvatam en hachavila. She needs to be able to produce two gitim in order to be able to say to these guys, look, maybe it is your suitcase, you know? But I couldn't care less. I'm keeping it. Because here's a get from you, which means I get a ketuvah from you. And here's a get from you, which means I get a ketuvah from you. And anyway, I never got my ketuvahs. You better pay up. But meanwhile, I'm taking my suitcase. And this is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, the Omer metatele mishtabde le ketuvah. And therefore, this particular case, as amusing as it is irrelevant to our entire sugya. It has nothing to do with Aden and Kiddushin. It's just a lot of fun. Yes. So,
but each of these men are complaining.
Only I'm
claiming that the suitcase is theirs.
Yes.
So why are they going to give a
suit? What do you mean, why?
Force them to give a suit?
No, we talked about that on Amon Olive. That's another question. Maybe there were aliens that were chasing them and, you know, threatened. It's the same aliens that have been chasing everybody for years now since our president brought them up. I mean, we had an Amud Aleph. If they give a get, so then they're messing themselves up because then we will ask them to give a ketuvah.
By giving a ketuvah, actually they're paying nothing.
You mean they're paying nothing? They're losing their beautiful suitcase, including that new iPod. That's not nothing. Yes, it was a trunk. Right, she couldn't have collected it.
But even though she doesn't substantiate her claim, oh, we just have to kill their claim.
Right. She's still trying to sue them and to get the ketuvah, claiming that was mine. I mean, they didn't give me a penny. But obviously, I mean, there's no way that she'd be able to collect if she can't prove it.
If they run away,
I'll tell you one thing. If I were caught in this kind of situation, I'd run too.
They're holding on to this.
That's true. What's that?
If they're in a way without doing anything,
she'll be in that way. No. She's walked away scot-free. She said, I don't know what they're talking about. We can bring my servants back. She doesn't need a get. She only needs a get to collect the suitcase.
So the dinner is just for her to get the soup, right? I mean,
it's that's all we're talking about. The only finish of this braita is to tell me that that according to this braita, we're going to leave it to Rabbi Meir, that you can collect the suitcase. That's all. It's just saying it in a beautifully amusing way that forces all of us to consider what the issues are. So it's a lovely story. What's the bottom line? So my hobby, okay, you've brought us all kinds of piskei halacha, but what's the bottom line? I mean, how do we act on this issue? Rav Kahana says the bottom line is ain't kosher l'kedusha. Says Rav Papa, nah. No, the bottom line is yes kosher l'kedusha. You know you're never going to get a bottom line, right? Amar Rav Ashi, l'Rav Kahana. Where'd you get that from? I'd like to know where you came up with that. That we are kosher l'kedusha. Why? Because, I mean, that we're not kosher l'kedusha. I mean, where'd you come up with that? I assume. Because of the pasuk, right? You'll have to davar davar mimamon. You learned it out of the parsha we discussed earlier, and kimatzaba ervat davar, which proves that you need two witnesses, and therefore you don't have two witnesses, you have nothing. Well, that's brilliant. If a guy walks into court and he says, I do hereby admit that I owe Joe 100 shekel, is that hodat baldin kimeya edim dami? Can we enforce a judgment on that? Yes, we can. Okay, so she walked into court and she said, I do hereby certify that I am married to so-and-so. So, I mean, you learned it out of that pasuk, and we're all agreed that when it comes to mamon, that the statement is binding legally. So, even according to your own logic, why wouldn't the statement be binding legally? On her. So explain that to me. So where do you get the idea that we need these edim to actually create the kedushin? Any more than we would need edim to create the chiyuv of mamon in the court, even though the guy is saying, I owe the money. You're being very inconsistent. Omar Lay, so Rav Kahana said, I'm not being inconsistent at all. The din, that if somebody is modet, kameya edim dami, is based on the idea not of believing him vis-a-vis the legal realities in the world, but rather believing him in terms of the chiyuvim for himself. Because anyway, his statement is irrelevant to the world. I mean, hatam lokam echaive l'achrine, he's not having an impact on the world. All he's doing is basically making a gift to charity. Thank you.
He's obligating himself.
That's all he's doing. He's obligating himself. You want to tell me a person can obligate himself. Thank you. Mashenkin over here, the statement that I am married to her definitely obligates other people. And even if the two of them together each support the other in that statement, which is one of the cases in the Mishnah, as the Rashba points out, so it's still irrelevant. Because I can't say something about your status, and you can't say something about my status, and therefore our two statements are anyway incompatible. All they have to do is how we're going to act. We're going to act as if we're usser, because we're married. Fine, that's not reality. That's personal behavior. So therefore, don't bring me from the din of hoda'at baldin. Certainly the simple achrini is the krovin. How can we establish an isser on krovin? Marzutra, Ravada Saba were both great men who were the children of Rav Mori Bar Iser. And he died, father died, and they divided the estate on their own. No witnesses, just a nice, agreeable chalukah. Then all of a sudden, they became concerned with the question of is their status a status of shutafim or individual owners? If it was a binding chalukah without witnesses, so then they're not shutafim. Now, this makes tremendous nafkamina legabit chiv of meiser, the din of kalibon, as we had before, and I'm an estate when you're paying your shkolim, and all types of other halachas, bechor, so on and so forth, okay? So they were suddenly thinking, oh my gosh, wait a minute, so maybe this was just a convenience, but legally speaking, we're still actually tied to each other, because we didn't have witnesses. It doesn't matter if we trust each other. So they decided to ask what the halacha is. So they went to Rav Ashi. They went to Rav Ashi and they asked him, Omrule, look, it says Apishne Edim, okay? So I want to understand what that means. Apishne Edim Omer Achmana. Is that only because the Iboilam Ahadir Lomatzi Hadribahu? It's only to create a state of commitment that is supported by external reality, which is testimony. But that's irrelevant to us, because Anan Lohadri, we're not the kind of people that will ever change our mind. He doesn't think I'll change my mind. I don't think he'll change my mind. And our commitment, therefore, was to each other, my word is my bond, I don't need witnesses. Or is it saying, Yokum Davar, that lo mekai mamilta elabis ade? No thing can stand on its own as a legal reality unless witnesses make it so stand. In which case, it doesn't matter that we trust each other. It doesn't matter that we split it. We need to recognize that as far as the rest of the world is concerned, and that's what's going to define the halacha. We're still basically shutafim in the estate of our father. What's the din? So Rav Ashi said to them, gentlemen, amarlu, lo ivri sahadi ela l'shakri. The only reason that God created witnesses is because people are liars. And you guys who are not liars, there's no problem. Omar Abai, let me give you, in other words, you do not need witnesses to establish a kinyan. That's what it's saying. So two people who make a kinyan, beinam levein atzmam, as long as we're agreed the kinyan happened, it's a perfectly good kinyan. The question over here, and this of course gets back to the most serious issue, which we'll wait to discuss until we get to the end of the sugya, what is kedushin if not a kinyan? In other words, it seems that we're being torn in different directions. On the one hand, you're saying, kicha kicha mistei ephron. You bought the woman. We're all agreed that you bought the woman. We're not shakri. Lo yivro tzadi, elo la shakri. I don't understand. So then why did you say that when it came to kedushin, it's yokum davar? There ain't no kedushin. It's a joke. And when it comes to kinyan, no, there is a kinyan. The Aiden, they're only there to establish the facts. How do you have it in two directions? I don't understand. So this, of course, we're going to have to now, this is precisely what the Gemara is leading us up to, is to recognize that something strange is happening. That despite the fact that we're learning out arayot, davar davar mimamon, and we're now establishing that, lo choshishin l'kidushav, if there's an eid echad, which means that the aid is far more than establishing the facts, but is central to the event. And then we turn right around and say, yeah, but the truth is if you made a kinyan without it, it's perfectly binding. Yeah. Well, yeah. So where does this come from?
But when we just discuss the difference between mamon and
no,
in the sense of being mechayev l'atzmon or to the acher.
Yes, but that's the question of believability. Here we're talking about chalot. That's the problem. In other words, Adam apparently you're saying serve something other than the function of believability. Mm-hmm. So then in that case, how do we explain the difference between mamon and kedushin? We'll see. Let's first see what the cases are that we are willing to, how far are we willing to go with this? In other words, is it just a din in Momon, maybe because Momon is a whole different sphere where people can create things between themselves, and it's irrelevant that there be some objective reality? Because anyway, as we have recently learned, Momon is not about reality, it's about perceptions. So maybe that's the better. How far do we go with this issue? Omar Abaye, well, let's take it another step. An eid echad comes to somebody and he says to him, Achalta chalev. Look, I saw you eat a piece of chalev. You weren't aware of the fact it was chalev. You remember? And he doesn't say anything. V'ala shotek. He doesn't deny it. That is sufficient for him to bring a korban. Now, normally we'd be very careful about bringing a korban because we'd say you can't bring a korban. It's chulin mazara. So you're going to be doing a bigger iser bringing the korban than not believing this aid, right? So there's got to be something over here in which the statement of this guy is recognized by the person as to say, this halacha of ohoda elav chatato. That this is, he now recognizes that he was chote, and that's what's important, even though it says ohoda elav veloshio diuhu achirim. It's not that other people let him know. It's that he has to recognize it. That doesn't mean that other people can't trigger that recognition. So over here, this aide said that, the guy, oh my God, right, of course, forgot where that had come from, and so on. So in other words, hishtika is viewed as an actual recognition.
Because we say hishtika koda.
In other words, if he comes along and say, nah, I didn't pay any attention, we say, that part is hishtika koda. But the deeper chiev is that since that's true, it's included in hoda elav chatato. Right? Now, that means that we have, really, a number of fascinating differences. When it comes to korban, clearly the Torah is makpid on the individual's knowledge. He didn't need any witnesses. If he figured it out on his own, He says, oh my God, I wasn't aware of the fact that that was chelik. Of course, he'll bring a korban. So there he is able to act, because there it says, oida elav. It's to him. In the case of mama, a lion sleeps tonight. In the case of mama, the reason that we can agree on something is the Torah says, beferish, asher yomar ki huze. Asher yomar ki huze means if a person is made of a mitzvah, we take what he says as legally binding. So we know that the Torah is machshiv. In momenis, a chiyav that you create on yourself. Therefore, it's b'chayv yu shvua, and so on, correct? By the carbon, we now have yet another issue. Over there, the very fact that you are now in a state of recognition of sin, b'shogeg, is b'chayv yu a carbon. You don't need binding witnesses. And by the way, it says, abayv v'tana tuna. I mean, the Tana states this openly in the following, Omar lo, if one witness says to Omar lo, eid echad, achal tachelet, and he denies it, and he says, nonsense, lo achal, what are you talking about? So there he's potter. Now, don't you see from there that time of the Omar lo, it's only because we reacted and says, no, it's not true. But had he been quiet and later on comes to claim, nah, no, ha'ishtik mehema, then we would say, yes, to go ahead, bring the korban. And furthermore, says Abai, I'll tell you a second case. Amalo edecha nitmu taharotecha. An aide comes along and says, you know, these perot are tmeim. And he's quiet. Vala shotek. Then he is ne'eman to create tuma on those perot. And tana tuna. I say the tana says that beferish. Edecha omer nitmu. Vahalo omer lo nitmu patur. If an aide says that it's tmeim, and he says never. So then he's patur. Now this word patur is very strange because what possible chiyuv could there be on peirot behin tmeim? There's a lot of discussion on this point. The Marsha actually changes the case to be talking about him being tamei, and he brings a brayta that says that, and then patur would be on the question of tumat mikdash v'kedoshav, which would be a korban, but that doesn't make sense later in the sugya, so he has to dray a lot because obviously we need to show the difference between this case and the other case. The case that we just had, they can't both be coming to tell me the chiyuv of a korban. Okay, so maybe the use of patur is a loose language. But anyway, says Abaye, time of the Omar lo, but ha'ishtik mehema. If he hadn't said anything, then we would have established that the perot are tmeim. And now I'll tell you a third case, says Abaye. Omar Abaye, Omar lo eid echad shorcha nirva. Look, somebody done slept with your animal. Now, once that's true, that animal is no longer used as a korban. So even though it doesn't create any isurin in terms of your own personal use of that shor or eating that shor, but the Torah doesn't like sexual animals that were used for averis to come to the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, he would be neman, and the guy can't use it. And tana tuna, we also see that clearly. Vishnei avdavo avira, vishnei mit al pi eid echad, o al pi haba'alim, neeman. Now, what's the case over there? The Mishnah is listing the type of animals that cannot be brought. So in a case where someone had used this animal for something kinky, Alpi Eid Echad, or Alpi the Balin himself, Ne'eman. Now explain to me what Alpi Eid Echad means. Echidami. I mean, if the Balin is agreeing, so then you don't have to mention Eid Echad. You said Alpi Balin alone. It's enough, right? So the Hainu Alpi Balin. Elala, the only case where it makes sense is when we say Eid Echad, it means that he was quiet. So you see that when you are quiet, then that's considered to be the equivalent of your acknowledgement at shtika koda'a in all cases. Now, we need all three cases, by the way, of Abaye, v'tzricha. D'yesh minan hach kamaita. If I only would have known the first case, and the guy now wants to bring a korban for eating chalev. I said, well, of course. Ilav dekim le'benavshe be'avad chulim bazor lo'avi maita. Obviously, this guy is not going to be bringing a korban if he has any doubts. He must recognize the fact that therefore we say the shtika was oda'a, and he's allowed to bring a korban. But nitmu tarotecha, where over there the guy doesn't respond. Why doesn't he respond? Because he couldn't care less. I don't know, nitmu tarotecha, you know what? Even if you're right, so I'll wait till I'm tamei, and then I'll use them. Even if I'm makpid on having things that are tahor, when I'm tamei, I certainly don't care if I eat things that are tamei. So I'll save these potatoes for when I became tamei, okay? Meimar amrinan, hide the shatik. The reason the guy was quiet over there is not because he agrees that it's true, but rather the sabach has be made tumato. Can always use it when I'm tamei. Okay. Now let's say I would know those cases. I would say, yashminan ha Shouldn't come after the Mei Tarato. And if you tell me this case, I'd say, well, you know why Shtikas Koda'ah? Nobody likes to have their options limited in that way. I mean, well, I want to use it now. Why would I? Why should I agree to the guy? I should have told him, you know what you're talking about. But when it comes to Shoron Nirva, the guy says, what is this guy? He's got a weird voyeur? Who was thinking of bringing the shart on his back? What, you're crazy? I mean, I use the shart to do my work in my field. Why should I discuss it with him? This guy's a nut. So Shoron Nirva, why should he respond? Meimar Amar. What? Kol HaShvarim Lav Lagavim Mizbeach Kaima. Now, certainly, there's no reason to think that I wanted to use this shart for the Mizbeach. I'm going to talk to him. Therefore, Tzricha. Now we need those three cases. Now, basically, we have five cases that we're discussing. Kiddushin, Chiyav of Mamonos in terms of Kinyan, the case of Chiyav of Karban, the case of Tumat Perot, and the case of Pasuling Ashar for the Mizbeach. Now we're going to continue Bezrat Hashem tomorrow night at 7:30, and we shall see what other things we have to throw into this pot. Stir it well, and watch what comes out, hopefully. Although you better stand near the door, because you never know. Ha'omer li'isha kidashtich, he'omer lo kidashtani, hu asur b'krovotea, v'hi muter b'krova. He omer kidashtani, hu omer lo kidashtich, hu mutar b'krovotea, v'hi asura b'krova. Kidashtich, he omer, no, it was my daughter. Hu asur b'krovot g'dola, g'dola muter b'krova, hu mutar b'krovot k'tana, and even k'tana. Despite her mother's statement, is mutar b'krova. Kidashti et bitcha, v'yomer lo kidashta eloti. Hu asur b'krovot k'tana, k'tana muter b'krovav, hu mutar b'krovot g'dola, hu g'dola asura b'krovav. Boy, you could see a TV comedy on this one. Ha'omer la'isha kidashtich, and we need all these four cases. Why? Because he ashmin and gabbe didei, mishum degarva lo ichpat lei mikre. He might just omar something. Avol I, ema, ilav tekim lei b'dibure. Lo avi omra te asur herself, and therefore litzar iu b'krovotea also, because it seems she's telling the truth. Kamashmalan. Kidashtich v'hi omeret lo kidashtani. So, oh, two lomalis in that same case? No. Because itzar, sakadai l'chamina midiorayta em nerachmanu la'av. So if the Rabbanan gave her shoot to the mother to say it was my bat, so then im nua lida min Rabbanan. V'titzar barta b'dibura, just like a father said it b'tina tati b'shazeh. Kamashmalan. Kidashti et b'tech. So what do we mean in this case? We don't. Hatulamali, aydi datanahatananamiha, itma. Rab amar kofim, v'shmul amar mevakshim. Now, ay. Ilai ma'aresha, she's muteret, laf kofinika v'lo mevakshinika. Ela seifa, okay, I mean, you want to be a nice guy, v'shlema mevakshim, l'chayai, very nice, but kofim, amai. Can't he just say, amar lo nechli ditsa b'kriva? The truth is, this was not an argument, it was complimentary. Shmaita ta'adadi itma. Omar Shmuel Mivakshim Imenu Litenget, and Rav clarifies that that means that the whole thing is in terms of how that get got there. Im Natan Get Me Atzmo. So then, indeed, Kovanat Adatim Ktuva. Itvanami Omer Vachabarad Omer Rav. Varmul Omer Vachabarad Omer Vamnun Omer Rav. Kofinu Mivakshim. Huh? Tarte? Hochgam Mivakshim Imenu Litenget. But Kofim Im Natan Get Me Atzmo. Kofinu Adatim Ktuva. Omer of Yudah Mekadesh Be'erechad Inkoshim L'kedushat. Bo minem of Yudah Habat Shnehem Odim In V'lo V'rafya B'yad Itmar Menachon Omer Shmuel HaMekadesh Be'erechad Inkoshim L'kedushat Afilu Shnehem Odim Etvei Rabbele Menachon Omer Lishak Kedashtich V'yomer Lo Kedashtani Hu Asur B'krovotea V'yimater B'krovav. Now I ask you what the case is here. Idi Ike Eidim Amai Muter B'krovav Idaleke Eidim Amai Asur B'krovotea El Olav B'yed Echad, and that's sufficient to create the Chalot of the Kiddushin. Achamai Eskinen Gagon Domar La Kedashtich B'fnei Ploni U'ploni V'ochul Am Lodinat Hayam Etvei Amagarish Et Ishto V'lana Imo B'pundeki. So Beit Shammai Omrim Eina Tzricha Mena Get Sheni Beit Yilel Omrim Tzricha Mena Get Sheni Zeh Chidami Idi Geidim So Maita Maia Beit Shammai Idi Lek Geidim Maita Maia Beit Yilel El Olav Be'id Echad No Letay Mechena Seifa Modim Benit Gar Shaman Erstin Zeh Tzricha Mena Get Sheni Bibde Sheni Bo Gaspa I mean Eid Echad which would mean Eid Echad was Shnei Modim right? Huh. How do you explain that? I mean what's an afkamin if it's Mena Erstin and Mena Nezui Mali min anisur, mali min erisin. Elach ma'eskin and godi ikeide yichud. Velekeide bia. So beit shamai sabre lo min anenei yichud anenei bia. וכאוסף אמרינן הנה הנה לייחוד, הנה הנה לביאה. ומודים, ודאי, ונדגר שם הנהרסן, דולא אמרינן הנה הנה לייחוד, הנה הנה לביאה, מפני שאין לי בו כספה. אומר רבייתו בשמו באמר את המשמן הרב המקדש בית אחד אין חושין לקדושיו, ואפילו שניהם מודים. אומר רבא בר אבון המקדש בית אחד היה בית דין הרבא סד אין חושין לקדושין. מן בית דין הרבא? Well, if it was Rabba, indeed it was said Rabba Baravuna, it's got to be Rab. Ikre Amar Amar Rabba Baravuna Amar Av Amakadosh Beit Echad. Beidina Rabba Amrei and Cheshen Kedushav. In which case, Man Beidina Rabba, Rabbi. Mati Berach Devor Baram. Shnayim Shabov Midinat Hayam. Vishamehem V'chavilayim Ahem. Now, Ze Omer, Zo Ishti, Ze Avdi, V'ze Chavilati. V'ze Omer, Ze Ishti, V'ze Avdi, V'ze Chavilati. Vishomet, שני עבדיי וחבילה שלי. זה צריך שני גיטים, וגובה כתובתם מן החבילה. זה יחידמי. אידי התליסד אליי והתליסד אליי, ממצאת אמרי לשני עבדיי, חבילה שלי, אלא לאו ביד אחד. נו, ותסברי לך בקשה ממהמן. אלא, the point is, למישרי דאמה, obviously, כל העמה פליגי דשור, you don't need a get. הוכחי כאמה, צריכה שני גיטים, if she is to be able to keep that suitcase. But that's כדי לגבות כתובתה מן החבילה, and the Chiddush is, it's Rabbi Meir, דמי ותת למשתת לכתובה. Anyway, bottom line, מה אבי אלוה בת הידע אחת? רב כהנא אמר, אין חושן לקדושיו, ופופה אין חושן לקדושיו. אמר רבה של רב כהנא, I don't get, where did you get it from? מה דייתך? I assume you left it over דמי ממון. So ask yourself, אם עלה עלה בי ממון או דעת בלדין כמי ידים דמי? Why not say, אף כהנא דעת בלדין כמי ידים דמי? אמר לי, because אתם לא כמחייב לאחרינה. הוקר כמחייב לאחרינה, and why should I learn one from the other?
מר זוג. I think it's ever shown that allows me to.
And it's a special halacha by moment that says, כי הוא זה. So, רבד הסבא בני, מר זוג רבד הסבא בני דרב מורי בר יסר. So they went ahead, פולג נחסר בעדי עדה. יותר קם דרב אשי. אמרו לי, על פי שני עדים אמר רחמנה, is only for logistical purposes, in which case we couldn't care less because anan lo hadri, or is it that they really need it? They will not come and melt all of besadi. Amar lo na man lo ivri sadi elo l'shakre. Amar abaya amar lo ida kadachal tachela v'ala shotek neeman v'tanatuna amar lo ida kadachal tachela v'ala amar lo achal di patur. So time it amar lo v'ala shotek neeman. ואומר רבי, אומר לו, עד אחד נטמו תערותך ועל השותק. אז זה נאמן. ותנא תונא, עד אחד אומר נטמו, ועל אומר לא נטמו פטור. תאי מדי אומר לא נטמו, איש נאמן. ויאמר רבי, אומר לו, עד אחד שולחן נרווה ועל השותק נאמן. ותנא תונא, ושנעבדה בו עבירה, ושהמית על פי עד אחד או על פי בעלים נאמן. So now you have to ask yourself, היה על פי עד אחד היחידני. מנית כמודו בעלים, so then it's just על פי הבעלים. אלא לאו דשתיק. וצריך all three cases. The Ashmanach Kamaita, Ilav the Kimli Benafshe, the Avad, he certainly wouldn't be bringing a carbon of Kulum Bazar. I don't have him yet. Aval the next case, Nitmut Arotecha, maybe, I mean, and Haide Shatik Savakazilei Tumato. Yashmanaha, and you're the Kamafsa that we made Taroto, but Shoro Nirva? The guy figures this guy's a weirdo. So, Meimar Amar, why should I bother? Kolash for him, Lav the Gabi Mizbeach Kaiman, Tricha.